Who am I? Who am I that God cares for me? Who am I that God even deigns to think of me? That's the gist of the psalm today. This is Psalm 8, and a psalm that I've always liked because it speaks to how amazing it is that God, who is the creator of all things, above all things, and actually beyond the full comprehension of all things, would nonetheless care about us. And above all, care about us as humans, even above the rest of creation. And this sentiment that is something that really is resonating with me this week, I think it's something that affects us all at some point or another. But for me, I feel it especially this weekend because I realize I'm coming up on my 10th anniversary as a priest this coming week. And so I ask, you know, why on earth, or more appropriately, why on heaven and earth, would God have blessed me so much? Why would God bother with me? Why would he care for me? Why would he want me to be his priest? And why would he entrust me? Why would he bless me with this parish here at St. Ignatius? And I wonder, why does God trust me so much? Because I have, you know, if I'm going to be honest, and with God at least, I have to be completely honest. Not necessarily that all the time, but with God, I have. And honestly, I have proven to be wholly untrustworthy at times. And yet, God cares about me. God trusts me. God blesses me and entrusts me with this parish. And at different points, I think all of us ask ourselves, why does God bother with me? Why does he care? I can't believe that God would care about me. I'm too, and then, you know, we fill in the blank. I'm too prideful, too sinful, too inadequate, too unlovable, too selfish, too messed up. Or we say things like, I've rejected God too long, I've ignored him too long, I've hurt him and others way too much for him to care about me. Whatever your brand of angst is, you can fill in that blank. That God can't care about me, I'm too, and then you fill it in. And yet God does care for you. God not only loves you, but is actually in love with you. And God knows that you have this amazing capacity for love and for holiness in you. That he knows that you have these wondrous gifts in you. And this is where I think the Holy Trinity really comes into play. This Sunday we mark Trinity Sunday, where God, we celebrate God as Father, Son, and Spirit. And to some extent, this idea of three persons, all of them God, all of them somehow distinct yet united, is a mystery. That's what we said in the opening prayer, that it is that God has revealed to us this mystery. What it means is that it's partially hidden. We can understand part of it, but we can't fully understand it as human beings. But the care, the love, the salvation, the blessing, and the healing that God wants us to accept, and he wants us to respond to that is the work of the Trinity, all of the Trinity, because it is the very nature of God. You see, St. John said God is love. And while no definition of God is adequate, this is as close as we get. God is love. And love can only exist if there is a relationship. You need a lover and a lovee, if you will. Hence, God being more than one person. God, for love, for God to be love, it needs more than one, that entity of God needs to be more than one person. And the love is fruitful. At its best, at its most perfect, love spills over, and it cannot but bear fruit. Thus, we have God the Father and the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit that spills over out of that love between the Father and the Son. It is this creative force, and that is why you and I were created. We were loved into existence. Now, you know, in our physical world, in our day-to-day lives, that may have not been how it happened. You may not have been planned for or come out of a loving parental relationship. And if that is the case, I pray that you come to know that God Himself loved you into existence. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And to be known by God is to be loved by God. You were loved into existence by a God who is a relationship, a loving relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. So you were made for a relationship with that same God who is madly in love with you. So is it any wonder that God cares for you, that He's mindful of you? Actually, he's so much more than mindful of you. He's in love with you. The psalm that we heard today goes on to say that God made us a little lower than an angel, yet He loves you so much that He gave up His Son for you. He gave up Jesus, who's higher than the angels. He's the Son of God. He's the second person in the Trinity. And yet, that second person gave up His life for you. He did it so that you would know the love that God has for you. That you would know the depth and the breadth and the height of how much God is willing to do for you. And so, Jesus did that so that whatever is in your past, it can be just that, in your past. It does not have to define you now, nor your future. Wherever you've been does not have to be where you end up. You are His beloved daughter, His beloved son, and God never gives up on you, never loses hope in you. That's the nature of God who is love. It's the nature of Jesus. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit. Last week, at Pentecost, we invited people to come forward, to people who in this past year had felt that God had somehow transformed their life and had made a decision to put Christ at the center of their life. We had 93 people come up. 93 people said that they had made that decision to put Christ at the center of their life, or they had renewed that decision. And I thank God for that work of God in their lives, that work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in their life. But putting God at the center of your life, making that decision, that's only the beginning. Deciding to follow Jesus and to be a disciple is the beginning of a new journey. You know, on this Father's Day, I think about, you know, all parents, fathers, but all parents have hopes and dreams for their children. Well, God has hopes and dreams for every one of His beloved sons and daughters. He has hopes and dreams that are actually greater and more fulfilling than anything we can imagine, anything our own parents could have imagined. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And our decision to follow Jesus is the beginning of the journey to fulfill those plans. It's not the end, it's the beginning of something. Last Monday at our Alpha Potluck, we were this celebration evening where we gather to with all the people who have just completed Alpha, and they invite their friends and family to come, and we celebrate this. We had a couple of people come up and witness and give witness to what Alpha has done for them. And we heard about from a number of people talking about rediscovering a relationship with God and the peace that comes from that discovery. And we had a couple come up who talked about how they were new immigrants to this country, new immigrants here, and how that means that their future is uncertain. They don't know what's in store. they're still in this process of immigration process. They don't know what the future holds. And yet they have found so much peace in their life because of that recognition that God cares for them, that God has a dream for them. A dream for them as a couple, a dream to hope for their, to prosper them and to give them a future. Yesterday, we had 45 leaders from 15 parishes and other organizations, including from our archdiocese, come to a conference. And that among them, we had 8 clergy come to this conference, this open house we called it, that we put on to share some of the things that we've been doing here at St. Ignatius. And I'm so blessed to have the amazing group of volunteers who gave so much of themselves, high capacity people who lead busy lives, who gave tons and tons of time, including half their weekend, because they believe that what we are doing is worthwhile and worth sharing. We believe that God has hopes and dreams for these parishes, that God has hopes and dreams for our church in Montreal, and we believe that God's hopes and dreams include us being a blessing, not only to the people here, not only to those 93 people who came forward last week, but be a blessing to the whole church. And so we opened our doors wanting to share what we've learned from trial and lots of errors. We wanted to share what we learned, and people responded. People came from Ottawa, from the East End, which is almost as far as Ottawa. Probably took them longer, actually, in the traffic. But anyway, we had people come from all over to hear what we could share with them about what our experience is. And if you were here last week and you heard me say that prior to being ordained, all I wanted as a priest was just to be left alone. I wanted nobody to bother me. I didn't want the archbishop bothering me. I didn't want the diocese bothering me. I didn't want anybody. I just wanted to care for the flock of God, you know, entrusted to me to a parish somewhere, and just leave me alone and I wouldn't bother anybody else. That's an awfully long way from putting on a conference and inviting people from all over our diocese, to inviting people from the archdiocese, inviting people from even from other provinces to come and see how God is working in our midst. How we're putting evangelization first, investing in leadership, and above all, learning to make room for and rely on the Holy Spirit to come and work in our parish, and especially in the lives of our people. I didn't want to bother anyone, yet here I am, leading this incredible staff, leading these amazing volunteers who believe as passionately as I do that God is doing something wonderful here and that it needs to be shared. Why the change? It's because I've decided to put God at the center of my life. And God's hopes and dreams for me, God's hopes and dreams for St. Ignatius are so much greater than mine. My dream was tiny. Leave me alone. Let me do my work. Don't bother me. God's dreams are, no, you're going to be a blessing for the people here. We're going to work through you. We're going to work through you to change the wider church, to change people in the other parishes in Montreal. I don't know what God's hopes and dreams are for you. I don't even know what plans he has in store for me. I do know that they forced me out of my comfort zone. And every time I've said yes to being pushed there, I found it fulfilling and life-giving. And I know that I've never been happier in my priesthood than these past few years. And I trust that whatever God has in store for me will be, it'll be challenging, but it will be fulfilling. But I also believe that I'm not singled out in any special way. That God created me out of love, but he created you out of love as well. And so I believe that God has hopes and dreams for you. They aren't the same as mine, but I know that they're wonderful and fulfilling, that they're probably challenging at times, but they're better than you can imagine yourself. It starts, however, with recognizing that God cares for you. accepting that he's not simply mindful of you, but madly in love with you. St. Paul today, in the letter to the Romans, writes that endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. God's hopes and dreams are not going to disappoint you. And God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Do you know that God loves you? That God is in love with you? Can you accept it? Can you make the decision to place your hope in Him, to follow Him? And yes, at times it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. It's going to, at times, require endurance, and it most certainly will form your character. God, please, I need lots of character formation. But God's hopes and dreams for you are so much greater than you can imagine. So I ask you to say yes. Say yes to God. Say yes when we invite you to take a leap of faith, to move out of your comfort zone, when we ask you to do Alpha or join a ministry or a connect group or a discipleship group or any of the other things. We're inviting you to grow. Above all, say yes to God. Say yes to His love being poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit.